The lesson this morning is taken from Luke chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. This is the story of the Gadarene demoniac. So let's read these verses together. Luke chapter 8, verse 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For aforetime it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he broke the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into it. And they, that is the devils, besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, that is, into the swine. And he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. And they that fed them saw what was done, and they fled, and they went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see, that is, the folks that they went to tell. They went out to see what was done, and they came to Jesus, and they found the man, the demoniac. They found him out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them. They were taken with great fear. And he went up in the ship, and he returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to thine own house, and show how great things God hath done unto thee." And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Now the story of the Gadarene demoniac is the story of every saved sinner. If you're a sinner and you're saved by grace, this is your story. This is your story. The scripture says that you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And that's what we all were. And we lived, and he took advantage of this fallen flesh, And that's the way we lived and were by nature, the scripture said, children of wrath, even as others. So this story is the story of every saved sinner. We're unclean sinners, possessed with unclean spirits. And, you know, when you think about spirits, I mean, I think this way because this is how I was taught when I was little. I can't help but think that way. Whenever I think about devils and spirits, and I'm thinking about how Hollywood portrays them, you know. But that's not how Satan works. Satan's realm, his evil realm, what his spirits do to men, is in the realm of religion. It's in the realm of religion. It has to do with how you think. How you think. He said, walk not in the... You used to walk this way, but don't do that anymore. Well, how did you walk? You walked in the vanity of your mind. You walked under these religious principles. That's how you walk. And you'd say to folk, well, God helps them who helps themselves. Really? You won't find anybody disagree with that except believers. Believers know better. God helps them who can't help themselves. He helps the helpless. We're all unclean sinners possessed with unclean spirits. And the flesh with all of its lust, and the world with all of its deceits, and Satan with all his devices. He rules over every sinner with absolute sway. The scripture said he takes you captive at his will. There's only one thing that will keep him from taking you captive, and that's Christ. That's Christ. We're all demoniacs, living among the dead. And it says here that he couldn't be tamed. He was wild. He was a wild man. You couldn't touch him. You couldn't tame him. You couldn't get a word in edgewise. You tie him up, he'd break the rope. You put chains on him, he'd break the chains. You couldn't tame him. Cannot be tamed or bound by any device of man. Solomon said, the hearts of the sons of men is full of evil. Talking about your heart, the center of your affection. The heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. Now only a madman, are you listening? Only a madman would set aside the commandment of God and go do what he wants to. You're a madman to do that. And we've all done it. We've all done it. Only a madman would put off what he says to do now to some other time. Only a madman, a sinner who don't know he's a sinner, only a madman would reject the grace of God. My soul, it's unmerited favor. It's God showing you his mercy and grace, not even considering any merit on your part. Huh? Only a madman would reject that. Only a madman would deny the word of God. Go contrary to the word of God. Well, it seems to me. Well, who other than you really cares what seems to you? God says what he says, and he means what he says, and everything that he says is right. We're all demoniacs, living among the dead. He made his bed in the tombs. He slept with the dead. Well, so do we. So do we. And I know that here in the scriptures it says the devil spake, but they spake through the Gadarene. His lips moved. The sound came from his body. And I know that their power was in him and upon him. And so as being one with those spirits, he couldn't be bound. And only our Lord and Savior can divide asunder between soul and spirit. And this is an accurate description of the sinner and how the sovereign Lord of glory delivers his elect and leaves him clothed and in his right mind. Now let me just give you a few things that I see in these verses that I read to you a little earlier. First of all, I want you to see this intervention of Christ. This sinner was not seeking Christ. He was a sinner. He was a madman. He was going about doing what his nature dictated. He was being used of Satan. Been used in whatever way he wanted to use him. And who knows how long this poor sinner's life went on the same. The same madness, the same misery, the same outcome, the same captivity. His life was like a broken record that just played over and over and over, a few notes. Just played it over and over. And apart from some minor changes, it would have continued that way all the way to the grave. It never would have changed. But for this man, for this demoniac, unknown to him, unknown to those in the city, for this demoniac, provision had been made. Now, when you get there, when you get there where you understand where you are and what you are, then we don't kick about eternity anymore. We don't kick about God's election anymore. Because there was no open door. Election is the open door. God opened that door. John said, I saw a door opened in heaven. Christ is the door. This man, as Paul wrote to the Philippians, from the beginning had been chosen unto salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. All this provision had been made for him long before this man ever appeared on this earth, long before there's ever an earth, before the Scripture says the foundations of the world. Or in another place he said, before the world was. Predestinated, the Scripture said, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. And not one part of his salvation had been left to chance or left to circumstance. Our Lord did not just happen upon this man. He went to him on purpose. I'll never forget what Brother Mahan said, that Brother Barnard asked him if he could quote Romans 8:28. And he said, yes, I think so. He said, all things work together for good to them that love God. And he sat down. And Barnard pulled him glasses out on the end of his nose and looked at him. He said, don't you know the whole verse? And he thought about it, and he said, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And he said, Brother Barnard just blew the back doors off the hinges and just screamed out, purpose. God saves men on purpose. On purpose. And this is what he's saying. Having predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. The Lord didn't just happen on him. He went there on purpose. And then think about this man's condition. Think about his condition. He's helpless, hopeless, dead spiritually, a madman. You know, we tend to, this one or that one acts a little bit interested to hear, and boy, we get all excited. This is a fella, he's got a nice family, and he's been to school, and he'll make a great member of this family, and we want him to come. But here's one over here, and he's a madman. He's crazier than a loon. We don't want nothing to do with him. This man was a madman. He was a madman. Because provision had been made, our Lord passed through the stormy sea to find him. And gospel preaching is a means whereby chosen sinners are called to God. Called from death unto life, he said. Called from darkness into light. And then notice this, it was the Lord who came to him. And I don't want to shock you here, but I hope you'll give this some thought. But whether it was him in person that day, I'm talking about the Lord, whether our Lord himself confronts you in person or he does so through one of his ministers, it's the same thing. When he sent that 120 out, he said, "He that heareth you, heareth me." And that's why he calls us ambassadors. Did you know that? We send an ambassador over there. Whatever that country does to that ambassador, he's doing to this country. If he strikes that man, he's lashing out at this country. There have been wars started over how people treated ambassadors. And whether it was him in person that day or myself as I'm speaking to you today, it's still the Lord's intervention, isn't it? If God intends to intervene in your life, it'll be through a preacher. And you won't be expecting it. This man was not expecting the Lord of glory to come into his presence. Now, he just wasn't. He found a fit place to live with the pigs, with the swine. That's where he was at, right out there among those herds of swine, a madman living down in the tombs. Had no clothes, slept outside, no home, no nothing. And I don't know if he really knew he'd run around naked. I don't know if he knew that or not. I doubt it. Because if I look at this in its spiritual light, we're all naked before God. We got no covering. The only covering there is his righteousness. We run around naked most of our life, didn't know it. Didn't know it. Talking about how pretty our clothes was, how pretty our righteousness was. We didn't have any. So there was on the part of this vile sinner an intervention. And then secondly, a power greater than all. Any power that you can imagine, a power greater than that took place in the heart of this madman. I'm talking about power beyond our imagination. That madman could not be bound. He couldn't be restrained. He couldn't be tamed. He couldn't be reasoned with. But when he saw the Lord, Mark says he ran to him and worshiped him. He worshiped him. And for every chosen, redeemed sinner, there's an appropriate time, an appointed time, a time of reconciliation. It's called in the scriptures a time of life and the time of love. It's also called the adoption. The adoption. In Galatians 4:6, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Like the waters of old, the whole earth was without form and void, even so was this man. But when the time come, he said, I'll break up for it my decreed place. Talking about the earth covered with water. And set bars and doors and say unto the waters, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall thy proud waves be stayed. And so it is in a man. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's the head of all principality and power. We're complete in him. He's a force to be reckoned with. He said, a strong man's arm keeps his palace and all of his goods are at peace until one stronger than he. And that's the Lord. He's stronger. The very devils that possessed this poor sinner called him the Most High. The Most High. And I know it's an unpopular doctrine, but the Spirit of the living God attends the preaching of Christ and not some Arminian free will universal Jesus. They attend the preaching of the gospel, Christ crucified. And all true gospel preaching is attended with power, but that power is only effectual unto faith and salvation in the hearts of those chosen of God. A large portion of the church at Antioch rejected the gospel. You remember Paul preached to them. I preached on that verse here a week or so ago. And a large portion of that church, that was a huge church, and a large portion of them, mostly because of the Jews, rejected the gospel. But it says, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. They heard. They saw. They saw in the ancient prophecies the salvation manifested in Christ. Paul read it to them, and they said when they heard that, they was glad. They was glad. And when Christ comes to chosen sinners, he comes with irresistible, for lack of a better definition, operations of grace. That's how he comes. And it's effectual. It's effectual. And thirdly, we're shown in these several events how their salvation was accomplished. You have to look back at what transpired on the sea. You know, we always want to look at the moment. We're looking at the moment. But we have the mind of Christ, and that mind takes in eternal things. And we look at these things. We look at what transpired on the sea and what followed. And he shows us in these things our accomplished redemption and calling. Our Lord left his throne in glory. He came across the sea of time and mortality to suffer with and for all his people. And by enduring the storm of God's wrath as our substitute, and rising up from that awful storm of wrath, he now comes to chosen sinners and gives them the good news. Huh? Isn't that what's going on here? That's exactly what's going on here. And then fourthly, how was this man, this madman, how was he found? When the city come out and the folks that were feeding the swine came back, when they left, he was a madman. And he was standing there talking with a man that they didn't know. He just arrived on the ship, walked out on the beach, and just, boom, this man met him right there, and he cast those demons out of that man, and they heard what was going on, and they took off. They were afraid, and they went back to the city. Man, they two madmen out here now, one talking to the other. So how did they find this man? a lot different than when they left him. A lot different. He was sitting with the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Were two or more gathered in his name, what's it say? He said, he's in the midst. He's in the midst. Church can do without me. It can't do without him. He's in the midst. This man's sitting there with the Lord. And says he's clothed. Where did he get any clothes? Huh? He was clothed. He clothed him in his righteousness. He's covered completely. God himself looks at him and can't find anything in him. Can't find a thing. You know what the scripture said? He uses this word unreprovable. He couldn't find anything in him to be bettered. He was fully clothed. And it says he was in his right minds. And believers all have communion with the Lord. They're taught by him. I read you this verse last week out of Ephesians 4:20. He said, but you have not so learned Christ. If so be you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in him. And this man now had a saving knowledge of Christ, which the scripture tells us is eternal life. And he was clothed. You know, until what we are is revealed to us, we don't have any need of righteousness. We don't have any need of salvation. We might need a hand up in society or a hand up in life in this world, but we have no need of these eternal things because we don't know we're naked. We don't know we're unrighteous. We don't know we're sinners. But when our Lord comes, he clothes us with his righteousness, sets us in his presence fully dressed, unblameable, unreprovable, holy in his sight. And then thirdly, they found him in his right mind. What is a right mind? It's the mind of Christ. It's a mind awakened by the truth. He sees his need of mercy and grace. The mind of Christ perceives things aright. And therefore he calls it a right mind. The mind of Christ sees things in an eternal light. He don't see things. You know, here's what the scripture says. He said, these afflictions that we have are all this light. It's light. If I consider them in the light of eternity, they're just light. They're just little things. He said, while we look not at things that are seen, but things that are not seen. For things that are seen are temporal, things that are not seen, now listen, they're eternal. These are eternal, salvation's an eternal thing, justification's an eternal thing. And all the rest is temporal, is temporary. Is temporary. May the Lord give us some sense of what this story is all about. It's our story. Our story. But the Lord has to show it to us, don't he? Then we realize that's my story. That's what he did for me. All right. Thank you.